Hello and welcome to Movies with My Dad, the podcast where I, film critic Tina Kakadelis, take my dad Stratus to the movies. This week we saw Final Destination Bloodlines, directed by Zach Lipovsky and Adam Stein, starring Death itself. Join us on the spoiler-filled car ride home.
Hi, Tina.
Hi, Father.
So, why does the
just
car...
Just hit the X.
I will, but is it going to speak to us?
It probably is.
Sorry, your vehicle information is currently unavailable.
Did I ask for it?
Be nice for when the robots uprise.
Yeah, well, it's too late.
You're going to get stabbed, like, with the car.
Okay. Hi, Tina.
Hi, Father. What did we see?
Well...
What's it called?
Actually,
I don't think they ever gave you the title, did they?
No, but I do know it's Final Destination something or other.
Nice. So what's the...
But hang on.
Oh.
So I can't blame you for this.
You can't. I said no. I wanted to go see it by myself. And you said, well, I'll come.
I'll come. And, you know, I came here.
I tried to talk you out of it.
You did. But...
And yet here we are.
Here we are. So I guess give the background
of
what
this
is. What
are you
going to
name it?
Oh, what, like, number? I don't know. 33?
No, it's just number 6.
Okay.
But this one is...
They all have like a little subname?
No, this one does. So instead of being Final Destination 6, it's Final Destination blank.
More killing all the time?
No, one word. What do you want to name it?
That's what I just named it.
More killing all the time.
More killing all the time.
I don't think that would really take off. Final Destination Bloodlines.
Oh, it was right at the end. Mm. They did show it on the screen at the very end, but I didn't really key in on that.
Mm.
All right, so for those that are not familiar with this franchise.
A storied franchise from my childhood.
Really? It's that? How long ago is this?
The first one is 99 or 2000, I think.
Oh, wow.
It's been a 10-year gap between 5 and now and Bloodlines.
10-year gap?
I believe. Ish. 10-year-ish gap between 5 and Bloodlines.
Okay.
Yeah, we've all been anxiously waiting. For death to come back.
For death to come back. So go ahead.
Basically, the basic gist is somebody always sees a premonition of a tragic event that's going to happen that's going to kill everybody. They then tell as many people as they can that the tragic event is going to happen and saves a bunch of lives, but death is pissed about it. What? You want ice? Oh my god.
Water, please.
Is death coming
is
for
death
you?
Coming for me, jeez. No, I think it's just allergies. Wow.
Well.
Okay, continue on, please, while I come back from dying.
You have to mute your mic because nobody's going to want to hear your garbling over there.
Okay.
But in saving people's lives, they actually mark them for death yet again, but this time in a fun, exciting way. And Bloodlines. What?
Well, is it always this?
So it's always a premonition.
And you save, and people get saved, and they don't actually die?
Well, they don't, like, sometimes, like, okay, so the very first one is about, like, this kid, their high school graduation, going on a trip to France. They all board the plane, kid sees the premonition that the plane's gonna go down. He freaks out, they throw him off the plane because he's causing a disturbance. A couple other kids get freaked out and follow him off. So they don't necessarily believe him, or they get caught up in the scuffle or whatever.
Right.
So they come off. And then that's how. And then they're each mark. And then they die in the order that they were supposed to die. But this one, which I think was fantastic, in like... Because like, some of the Final Destinations are not good. No Final Destination is good. Like,
I could see them being very campy.
But they're kind of fun to watch.
Amateurish or something.
They're just kind of fun to watch because like, I want to talk to the person who's in charge of the Rubes Goldberg machines of how they all die.
Well, that's exactly the adjective I was going to use at some point while we discussed this. I thought, this is Rube Goldberg meets death.
Yeah, that's what every Final Destination
is. I don't know.
And it's fascinating.
I don't know if I've ever seen one.
You watched one with my grandmother?
No, I think I may have left.
I think she would really like this one. She's seen the first two. And she liked them. I think she'd really like this one. That opening sequence, beautiful. the editing of it.
Oh, that was
incredible. Well,
very technically a beautiful, a really well done movie.
Look at you.
It really was a well done movie. That part I enjoyed immensely.
But you hated it.
No, I'm not going to say I hated it.
Okay. What are you going to say then?
Well, this doesn't live up to your standard of what horror is supposed to do.
No, 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 no. Let's talk about this.
Okay.
Some horror is just dumb and fun. Okay? Not every horror is supposed to be a metaphor for something deeper.
The fun... Oh, all right.
But if you want to talk about metaphors, this is about generational trauma.
It definitely was. So I thought there was like an actual movie in there somewhere.
Was an actual movie here. It's
no,
just
I just meant, you know, like meaning with other, with yes. families and your generational trauma.
Yeah.
And all. I'm like, oh, well, maybe this is going somewhere and they're going to get out of this. I didn't know they all die always, I assume, right?
So, Clear lived from the first one to the second one, but then she dies in the second one, I think. And then, yeah, pretty much I think everybody's dead. I thought that they were going to make it out, too. But then they killed them.
So, how did JB survive?
Because he's last.
But he should have already been dead before
kids
died. No.
You always die... No, because that's her bloodline.
Right.
So, because the way that this started off, this woman saved so many hundreds of people from death that it's now picking them off. Death always picks them off in the order they were supposed to die. But because there are so many of them...
Why doesn't it pick you off in the generation you're in? So why does it jump
because
down?
Because we've never introduced this before. This is brand new.
Oh.
But they're killing them in, like, the family groups that are supposed to... Like, because, let's say, person A is supposed to die 40th. But in that time of waiting for all those 39 other people to die, person A has had kids, and then those people have had kids. So when death gets to person A, they have to kill all of A's
bloodline. Oh, it works all the way down the tree?
Yes. That's what they were saying, is that when it gets to Iris, the grandmother in this, it has to kill Iris, and then it has to kill her oldest kid.
Before it can go to JB.
And then the oldest kid. Yeah. It has to kill all of Iris's blood before it can kill JB.
Okay.
You were fine with that.
I hope JB didn't have any children.
I mean, he's that's Tony Todd when it said in memoriam, in memory of Tony Todd. That's Tony Todd. This is one of his last roles. He's one of the only people that's been in multiple finalists. Oh. He's been in the first one, the second one, the fifth one, and now the sixth one.
Okay.
But he's always been there. Nobody has known why this guy has known about, like, the rules of death, but now this movie finally tells you why he's just been, like, the quiet information giver of all the other movies.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, so they always, the kids are, like, the people who are being hunted by death always end up at a morgue, and they always end up talking to Tony.
JB always tells you.
Yeah. But nobody has known why.
So I feel like they can't make any more
knows.
Movies now.
What do you mean?
Without JB, it's over. Or Tony.
Tony. No, because he's not in two of them.
Oh.
He's not in three and four. So. But also, like, okay. What did you think about the building collapse?
That was tough for me.
I knew it would be.
Why?
Because structurally, I was like, I don't think this
makes
a lot of sense.
Oh, no, that wasn't my problem.
Oh, because you don't want to go up in a tall building.
No,
anymore.
I'm fine with going in tall buildings.
So what's your problem?
That's where I have a hard time with these movies treating life and death so casually as entertainment.
I mean, it's fair, but I also feel like you were watching this movie as an escape.
Yeah, but why do you want an escape to see people die like that?
I'm intrigued by the practical effects of it all.
Okay, but can't we have practical effects with what? Going into space or doing something?
How are you going to do a practical effect going into space?
Go to space.
Yeah, and then woohoo, we did it.
Like, it's a weird genre for me.
Well, because I think inherently people are afraid of
We're
death.
All afraid of death.
Exactly. So this is a
this
means.
Is our way to laugh at death, is that
right.
what you're saying?
Yes.
But I don't think it's funny because these people were generally scared. They were really good actors. And it, and there was a
can't take you to horror movies
there was a
anymore.
Good storyline in there where they're trying to reconnect with their mother. Dad was useless.
Dad sucked.
He did.
Dad was terrible. What? Oh my gosh.
And we are talking about the second dad.
Not
the single father dad because he raised the kids by himself.
Yeah. The main girl's dad.
Yes.
Not. They did a very good job of making me immediately like.
I cared about
Iris
these people.
And the her boy. What was his name? Paul. Who's the guy who proposes to Iris in the beginning?
Oh, maybe Paul. Yeah. Yeah. That was a sweet movie they started with.
That's a sweet movie. No, I mean, I think, like, what Final Destination, as ridiculous and as campy as, like, some of the
later... It wasn't
later,
campy enough, I
it
think.
Wasn't. But I think, like, some of the later deaths get more campy because, like, so many things have to go wrong, whereas, like, I would believe a building could fall. I don't trust buildings.
I feel like I want... In a movie like this, I need to want this person to die. That there's something... They're an idiot. They screw somebody over. Like, when that little... that annoying child.
Yeah, when he got hit at the piano.
Right, it's like, that's fine. You know, at least it's sort of symbolic of what we all want to happen to people that are annoying to us.
But, like, a lot of those people did suck. Like, they were rude to the women. They were rude to Iris. They were rude
right,
to the guy.
Right.
So I was kind of fine with that.
That was, yes, but the rest of the family, I started...
But they all lived.
I wanted to know the family.
What do you mean, the family?
The families that we followed, whatever her name was.
Steph?
And her, yeah, Steph and her brother and her father and her mother and her uncle.
You can't get all of these things out of a movie. That's just not realistic.
What do you mean all these things?
Like, you can't have them go into, like, the family story and
No, but
the
they
murder.
Did, is what I'm saying. There was, I felt like I cared about these people.
Yeah.
So I didn't want them to die.
But I think...
I was happy sort of at the end when it looked like they were going to survive.
No. Just the dumb dad gets to live.
Well, and the other mom.
The aunt, yeah.
Yeah.
But we forgot about her.
Right.
After all of her kids died, they were just like, bye.
Even like a bonus kid, because he didn't have to die.
No, but he kind of sucked, too.
He screwed over death.
Oh, my goodness. What did you swear for?
Because there was a big pothole there. What? And they didn't even explain who his father was.
I don't think it mattered.
I know, but he was very upset by it, so I wanted to know if it was the guy that ran the tattoo parlor.
I don't think so.
That would have been a good twist.
Maybe, but...
But I did like the one line that I thought was really funny in there. And he says, that explains why I kept wanting to play catch with me.
Yeah.
I thought that was good.
I think that was fun. I mean, it wasn't
so it needed
as campy
more fun.
As others. Yeah, this was a much more serious Final Destination than the other... Some of the other ones, I would say.
It's like the one we watched with our director friend, G.
Mm-hmm.
Halloween Feast?
Yeah.
Oh, I got it right. Look at
that.
That was campy and fun. Right,
but those are achieving two different things.
Yes, but the people that died in there, I was like, okay with them going.
But I think...
Because it wasn't realistic. This felt realistic. I mean, obviously...
To an extent.
To an extent, yes.
But I do think that, like, Final Destination, there is something that is, like, easy to laugh at because so many things have to go right for some of these deaths, you know, that are kind of ridiculous. You know, like all, like this has to fall and that has to fall and it has to be a whole contraption.
But I feel like stuff like that actually happens in the world. People die by freak accident.
Oh,
do you not remember that show we watched? Maybe we shouldn't let you watch as children.
Maybe that's why I watched Final Destination.
Right. A Million Ways to Die or something like that?
Yeah. But I mean, like...
And Mom said, don't let them watch that, and I would always have it on occasionally.
I think what makes Final Destination kind of work as like a genuinely... unsettling thing is that, like, you do kind of find yourself thinking about it after the fact. Like, so when they get hit with the logs at the very end and that's how they die, that is referencing, I would say, Final Destination 2, where, like, the big inciting event is a highway accident and a logger truck comes undone and, like, all the logs come out and start killing people. But you ask anybody around my age and, like, everybody thinks about driving next to a logger truck on all of the roads because
I even think of that because a lot of people actually died by logger trucks that
But I'm saying
into
that,
them.
Like, there is something, like, kind of unsettling under the ridiculousness of Final Destination. You know?
So, what about the actual mechanisms of some of them? I definitely had issues with that.
Yeah, because some of them are ridiculous.
Well, the train one is ridiculous. That penny, Ted, did we not do it with you as a children to put coins on the tracks?
Yes, but that can actually derail it.
That's never, no.
I think it it's, can. No. But I thought a penny is more bendable than the other one.
The second...
A quarter matter. Can derail it.
No.
I'm there's like no pretty
way.
Sure.
No way. Okay. And there's no way the pressure of that locomotive coming around that track on that switch wouldn't just have flattened that penny in a millisecond. It would have been gone.
I don't know about that one.
100% on that one.
My issue was in the opening one, how the one piece of the chandelier came down and cracked the whole floor.
True.
That one bothered me. And then it also bothered me that, like, the whole novelty of being on a floor that you can see all the way through is that you keep looking down at it. You're telling me nobody, not one person.
And especially when they were doing that
it?
Song, a little louder now, a little quieter now, and they're all down there on their knees,
also
basically.
Great.
Did they not
songs.
Look down?
Exactly. That kind of made me be like, this is a little ridiculous, because that is the whole point of a see-through floor, is right. You're looking at it. So that dumb. And then when, like, the bolts just started flying out.
Yeah, why would they start flying out?
See, that's what... It's a little ridiculous. Because, like, a million... Like, they're not going to fly out.
Okay,
like
so here's the difference. So, in my youth, something like this would have been a disaster movie.
This is a disaster
movie. No, it's not. I mean, yes and no, right? In my youth, disaster movies like...
Twister.
Towering Inferno.
Okay.
Or... The Poseidon Adventure. These are movies where humans
Poseidon Adventure is objectively scarier than Final Destination.
Yes, but these are movies where the humans are not in control of their world and we have to deal with that, right?
Right.
But we work together and some people work their way out. Sacrifices are made, people
right.
do this for others, and there's a greater good, and at the end, you know, people survived and they come together.
Okay.
It feels like there's a greater
hope
out of this movie, out of those movies.
Maybe.
This one, it's just abject no hope.
I mean,
you're all going to die,
but you could be done. Look at the generation that made the first one.
They all survived World War II.
Growing, what?
What?
I'm talking about Final Destination.
I'm talking about my movies, sorry.
No, I'm talking about Final Destination. You're growing up in the Cold War era. This nihilistic feeling of at any moment it's all going to be over. You don't think that manifests into it?
Cold World era goes back to the 50s, so that's my era too.
Yeah.
I didn't grow up thinking nihilistic like that.
I don't know about that, but even contemporary.
You
don't
even have the drills to get under your desk in case the bombs are raining down.
You want to talk about the drills that we did in?
That's true, you did have those drills, but that was after. Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
In elementary school?
Yeah.
You don't think that there's this feeling of nihilism at the current state of the life at the
okay,
world?
Okay.
And how that manifests in death's inescapable plan?
Let me just go back to Poseidon Adventure.
But sometimes you have a little fun and you just hang a guy from a fan on his nose ring, you know? I am impressed by that. I'm impressed that they have made 6 movies and they've had to kill 30, 40 people.
Anyone come out of these become big stars?
Ali Larder was in it, and Ali Larder was pretty huge in the early 2000s. She's Brooke Wyndham in Legally Blonde.
Sure. I don't know anyone.
Well, if you're not
other
a man of culture,
other than
then
Reese
I don't...
Witherspoon and that other lady who can't, when you tell me her name, I'll remember it.
Jennifer Coolidge.
That's it. See, that's the only two people I know out of that.
Disrespectful.
I don't remember people's names.
Okay. Well, how many logs do you want to give it?
I would say if this is your, you've been to these before and you sort of like them, I'd give you a solid 4.
Wow.
But for me, out of the blue.
For a Sunday afternoon
for
film.
For a Sunday afternoon film, 2.5.
Higher than I thought?
Yeah. I mean, it's not the worst movie you took me to this week.
You picked it.
And I did choose to come to it.
My goodness.
What about you?
I'm going to give it a 4 simply for the novelty of... I think this is the first one that I've seen in a theater after having grown up on watching all of the edited versions of it on MTV.
Oh.
Where they cut out the actual deaths, so...
Oh, wow.
Okay.
All right. Goodbye, Tina.
Au revoir. That's it for this week's episode of Movies with My Dad. You can find all of our episodes on movieswithmydad.com or the streaming platform of your choosing. You can also send us an email at movieswithmydadpod@gmail.com. My dad is desperate to hear from you. You can find me, Tina, on Blue Sky at Tina Cacadellis or on Letterboxd at Tina_DOCX. You can find my dad at the local Lowe's. Tune in next week when we head back to the movies.